Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to gather. What a blessing it is to be able to come to you and to know that you hear our prayers, you will hear from heaven. And Lord, we want to praise you, we want to worship you, we want to thank you. Lead us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah, we'll begin a new book today, Proverbs, and how many of you have, over the years, from time to time, used Proverbs as a daily meditation? Uniquely laid out in 31 chapters, so it's used by many people for the chapter of the day. Today would be chapter 5, but we're not going to do that way. We're going to start with chapter 1, because we're not basically using it as a Bible study, necessarily. Proverbs is a little different book than any other book in the Bible. It's really not at all any kind of a narrative. And when you first look at it, it looks like a bunch of jumbled statements of wisdom. But Proverbs is actually very, very clearly laid out in Ecclesiastes 12:9. We read, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise," that's Solomon, "he still taught the people knowledge, yet he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs." And if you spend time in this book, like any other book, but particularly in this book, the more you meditate on these, the more is revealed. And there's much order in this book. It's not chaotic at all. There's no chaos in wisdom. There's no chaos in knowledge. There's no chaos in the Lord. But there is order. And so as we get into this morning, let's just begin by singing Knowing You, because this is going to be today is the chapter 1 is really entitled The Beginning of Knowledge. So let's just sing The Greatest Thing in All My Life is Knowing You. So the book of Proverbs, what does Proverbs even mean? Well, the word pro there is for, and verbs is means word, verbs, so it's for verbs. Proverbs, beginning of knowledge is kind of the topic in chapter 1. As I went through this the first time through, I kind of focused on verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And the second time I recognized verse 29 again, because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so we notice here in the book of Proverbs that 14 times it mentions the fear of the Lord. How many times in the whole Bible is the fear of the Lord used? 27. So half the time in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is used in this book. Isn't that amazing? I didn't know that. But we see here that this is a book of how-to, and so, you know, James is a book of how-to somewhat, and some people really gravitate toward how-to books. But this is a good, it's in the Bible for a reason, and it's to show us how to live.
Amen.
Someone says it's how to wise up and live. Short sentences from long experience. Condensing much wisdom into a small space. Wisdom, the ability to use knowledge in the right way. You know, the knowledge in these end times is really, really increased, but unfortunately the wisdom hasn't at all, so we don't know what to do with it. Divine wisdom is from above. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And although you might correctly say that Solomon wrote most of this book, it's really God who wrote it. It's really the Holy Spirit who wrote it. It's not man. Now, Solomon was thought to be the wisest man because of his prayer to the Lord, for the Lord gave him wisdom, but we see he didn't finish very well. We see he turned from the Lord and turned into idolatry and multiplied horses, multiplied silver, multiplied gold, all the things that a king is not to do. So even his wisdom didn't have the spiritual component in it that is really necessary. But wisdom is important, and it's probably the number one prayer request that is made, generally speaking, is for wisdom. And, oh, if I only had the wisdom of Solomon. And when I hear that, I think, well, I hope you get a little bit more than that, because he didn't do so well here. 700 wives, I don't think that's too... Can any of you men imagine having more than one wife, let alone 700 wives? So verse 1, we read the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, and that's just a little introduction. Then verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. Now these are, there's so much wisdom in each of these little phrases. But to know wisdom and instruction, wow, purpose of Proverbs. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Amazing. To give prejudice to the simple. I'm sorry, to give prudence to the simple. Oh, see if you're awake. Yeah, you are. I'm not awake, but you are. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Important. A wise man will hear and increase learning. How are you in hearing? How are you in receiving correction? How are you in receiving instruction? A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Have you met a person who knows it all lately? They don't know anything, but they won't receive anything, right? Hopefully that's not always me. Proverbs, to understand a proverb and an enigma. So what's an enigma? Well, I think it's something that you have to have wisdom to understand. To understand an enigma, you do need wisdom. And you really need knowledge, too, in certain cases. and as well as the words of the wise and their riddles. So these are all for the benefit of that. And then we get to one of the key verses in today's study, and that's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, we get back to chapter 9, we'll have the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we have that also in Isaiah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's in three times. But here it's the fear of the Lord, and it's in Job. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? That's an awareness, in my opinion, of His awesomeness. And He is so awesome that, I mean, it's just like hallowed ground. Take your shoes off, right? Because He's, it's not that you're scared of Him. I mean, it's much greater than that. I mean, it's not, I'm scared of ghosts, well, or whatever it is, or maybe snakes. I don't particularly like snakes either. But this is totally a different fear. This is a fear of maybe grieving the Holy Spirit. How fearful are you of grieving the Holy Spirit? Or of hurting the Lord through hurting other people? But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, contrastingly, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We also read in the Psalms, anyone who does not know God is a fool. But fools are given to us in the Bible, identified, and here is one definition. Now we go, that was the first seven verses there was the compactly given the beginning of knowledge. So you can dwell on those a little bit. And as always, each day this week, spend a little time in this proverb that we've going over today, and you'll get what you get out of from the Lord then is yours. What you hear from other people is not going to really stick in your mind too well. Now we're going to have verses 8 to 19 is what not to do. Shun evil counsel. Shun evil counsel. Solomon is referring to my son a number of times in the teens here. I can't remember, 14 or something like that. My son, hear the instruction of your father. And I was thinking how important that is, how tragic that is, how many sons do not have a father to hear from. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. So the human being is not one that is like ostriches and some others that they lay their eggs and never see their young. We need instruction. We need counsel. And that instruction and counsel, verse 9, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Graceful. Adornment. Ornament. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Now, I think in this day, this was written, it's all the same, but in this day it was primarily people who were probably the biggest problem. I don't think it's people today. I think it's the screen. I think it's all the stuff that comes in over the waves, over the screen, over the TV, or over the phone, or over the internet, so to speak. That's where we are really getting enticed today. But at any rate, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You know, the priests were anointed with their ears and thumbs and toes, but one of the big things with the ears is to hear Him, but not to hear the things that are not of Him. Same with your eyes, of course. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Wow. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. Sounds like Satan for sure, but it's also those who are not his. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. In other words, we're just going to smash and grab, right? Run in and take it, right? So to speak. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And then, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Sounds almost like Psalm 1, huh? Not to walk, not to stand, and not to sit. But here, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Are you doing that? Are you quick to turn off things that you shouldn't be listening to or seeing or watching? Or do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. I can almost identify certain political figures that we hear from all the time that are exactly in that category, running to evil, making haste to shed blood. Think of the proponents of abortion, making haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread, that means futility, in the sight of any bird. So now a bird's got enough sense. You don't make a snare for a bird when it's watching you, because it's never going to fall into it. But here, the wicked, they're not even as smart as a bird. They lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. Summary, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Think of how the life of this country has been sapped in the last decade or so. You know, we're seeing more and more that it is just such a sad state of affairs now, how the wicked left has run this country into the ground in almost every area. Now, the latest one this last week is there's no money for FEMA because it's all been spent on illegal immigrants, right? And I mean, that's just standard par for the course. If there's any money the government can get its hand on, it's going to spend it the way it wants to, right? Not for the purpose it's even there. And it weakens us. We're a very weak nation. We know we couldn't even protect hardly an assassination attempt with the Secret Service. And we know one of the first criterion for the FEMA things in the hurricane evacuation was they were stressing the diversity equity. That was primary. So we've lost our way, and it's all weakening the nation. It's all because you want to bring the nation down. It's all destructive here. And so this is what we need to be watching for, not just nationally, but individually. Now, the last 14 verses here, we have a call of wisdom. So this is the call of wisdom. Wisdom will be, I think there's 25, if I counted right, maybe more, personal pronouns in these 14 verses referring to wisdom. So it sounds like God in a way, because God is wisdom, but this is none of these personal pronouns are capitalized. They're all wisdom. Wisdom calls aloud outside or in the street. She, there's one, raises her, there's another, voice in the open square. She cries out in the top of the wall on the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. So, call of wisdom. How long, you simple ones, are you naive ones, will you live naively? For scorners delight in their scorners, for scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke, wisdom is saying. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. Now we're kind of moving here almost back to the Holy Spirit. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. But this is actually wisdom speaking here, not really as we have it in Isaiah and so forth of the Spirit of the Lord and one thing and another. But here, there's the Spirit. I will make my words known to you because I have called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand. So again, you, and no one regarded because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. So the call of wisdom is not being received. I will laugh also at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. You can hear God speaking here too, but this is really what we're really talking about. The subject of wisdom is here. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. There's the fear of the Lord again. Fear of the Lord, so important. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of their waywardness, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But now it finishes on an upbeat here with the call of wisdom. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So I immediately go on to, we're safe and secure in him. Safe, we'll close a little later on with it. Under his everlasting arms. Safe and secure, safe and secure. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Well, Father, we thank you for this proverb, and Lord, much to be gleaned from your word, and help us to meditate on your word and understand even more fully. We see the emphasis here on the fear of you, how important the fear of the Lord is. And Lord, would we pray today as led by your Spirit, and you are the one who teaches us to pray and gives us utterances and so forth, and we don't even know how to pray, but we want to just be willing and available to be led by you to pray as you would have us to pray, and incorporating the things that we see in your word and whatever you put on our heart. Lord, always good to pray scripture back to you, but whatever you would have us to bring forth now. We do want to pray for Israel. A couple of days will be the anniversary of that attack, which totally changed that country for almost a year now. And we just see the Bible prophecies being fulfilled one after the other in such rapid fire. But we do want to pray, and we know the church, Lord, has an opportunity now to show its love to Israel. Such an opportunity now to pray for what is right, to pray for this nation, to pray against the wickedness. Yes. Yes. And so, Lord, help us to pray this morning in these few moments we have together, exactly as you would lead us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, there is no fear of God in their eyes. Those who are not close to you, and I just pray for that. We've had that twice this morning in Proverbs, the importance of the fear of you. And so I pray for that for everyone who's not, well, for all of us really, but everyone who's not where they should be. They have the knowledge, they even can quote scriptures, but without the fear of you, there's no real concern about sin and walking in sin and living in sin. And so, Lord, we pray for that combination of knowledge and wisdom and work of your Spirit to humble themselves in your sight and turn to you with all fear, Lord. Yes. To be safe and secure in your arms, not obdurant and going the way of the world and filling themselves with all kinds of fancies of the world, which are just destructive and no profit, really. And so we can think of scores of those in that area, it seems like. Father, I want to thank you for the reports coming in now from Israel. I want to thank you for Danny Cohen, who has now left Newsmax and joined the Real Life Network as our correspondent from Israel. Hearing a report this morning, as you know, Lord, and how many people, particularly in this last week, with all of those hundreds and hundreds of rockets coming in day after day after day after day, and no casualties.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they're just amazed, and they're saying it's biblical. It must be biblical. It must be biblical. So there is quite an awakening in Israel, it sounds like, and that has to happen because you're going to be removing the scales from their eyes soon, I think, at the end times at any rate. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you have done. Those three systems of the Arrow 1, Arrow 2, and the Iron Dome, and one other one, I can't remember the name, all supernaturally were coordinated at the same time. It's impossible. They're not designed that way. And the designers even said they're impossible to coordinate that way. It must be of God. And so you have done it, and even the ones that weren't destroyed all have landed on bare earth or whatever it is, not even destroying any people. And so, Lord, it is you. And I just pray for an awakening around the world and many to turn to you. And we thank you. And whatever the case of the destruction may be, whether it's a hurricane or whether it's a war or whether it's a violence of all kinds, Lord, in the other side of those terrible tragedies, we see great things happening by you. So we just pray for that harvest. I pray for the work of the Forge in going out into the inner cities at Movie, and that there would be those particularly young men awakened and turned to you, and instead of living a life of video games and worthlessness, they would turn and be living for you. And whatever you're choosing to use and however you're choosing to use it. I pray for these days winding down to the election that we would keep our eyes on you. We know judgment is due, and we know that unfortunately the country has fallen so far away that we see candidates using I Stand for Abortion to get votes. What a tragedy that is. We should run from that, and yet voters are being attracted to that. They want their sin, and they don't want any accountability to you, Lord. So we're in your hands, Lord, and we know the election will go the way you want it to go for your purposes. But we just pray against the godlessness. We pray against the godlessness in both parties, but especially in the Democratic Party. That is all godlessness. I don't see any salvation issues in any part there. So, Lord, we've lost our way. We know that. And you are our hope. We know that. And we cry out to you this morning. May the church stand up and do what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
The government is not supposed to do that. The government is not our pastor. The schools are not our pastors. But we, the light of the world, are yours. Help us to be shining and to be in prayer. In Jesus' name. And whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So let's close by singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Yeah.
Father, we can thank you so much, Lord, for your promises.
Yes.
Thank you for those arms. Lead us and guide us as we go forth, Lord, and help us maybe to get a hold of some Jewish person in the next day or two and just let them know that we're standing with Israel, Lord. This is a big anniversary coming up on Monday, and it impacted them so deeply. So help us to stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.